You've tuned in to Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson. This is Kent Steinbeck. We're at Herb's house. We're in Dallas, Texas. More importantly, we're in the Bible. We're in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 for this devotion. If you have a Bible, we encourage you to turn to it. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And we have come to the sixth aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, which is goodness. We're entitling this Undeniable Goodness. And so let me just read this verse. The Apostle Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, writes, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness," wait for it, here it is, "goodness." It's a part of a comprehensive package of what God the Holy Spirit produces in a believer's life who is walking according to the Spirit. There will be this manifestation of goodness in our life. And so, Kent, we need to think about, so what is goodness? And then maybe how do I come by it? But the word goodness is a word that really speaks to moral excellence. It speaks to spiritual excellence. It speaks to having an upright heart. And it is someone who has good motives, who has good character, who has good integrity, who is marked by good choices and good conduct and good words, good conversation. They are known by being good and doing good towards others. It's rather generic in that sense. And the word, it's a rare word. It's only used three other times in the New Testament. All these other words that we've been looking at are just used multiple times. This is a rare word. And let me just give you two of those cross-references. In Ephesians 5 and verse 9, Paul writes, "The fruit of the light," and the light here is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. He says, "The fruit of the light." Now, that's interesting because we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And so the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Spirit producing in us Christ-likeness, and it is the Holy Spirit producing in us what are the desires of the Lord Jesus for our spiritual life. So the Holy Spirit is almost mediating Christ-likeness into our life and what Christ desires to see in us. Ephesians 5, 9, again, "The fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So it's an across-the-board goodness. When he says all goodness, obviously we can never be perfectly good. Jesus in Mark 2 said there is none good but God. But the idea here is in every aspect of our life, every component of our spiritual walk with the Lord, goodness is being produced. At home with my wife and children, at work with those who surround me, with my friends and in relationships, at church, in every component part of my life, God the Holy Spirit is producing this moral excellence in my life, which would be practical righteousness and practical holiness, purity of thought, purity of words. That's what the fruit of the light is. And the other cross-reference, Kent, is 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 11, if I could read it. "We pray for you always that our God will count you worthy of your calling." And that means that your walk will match your talk, that your walk will reflect this high call of God upon your life that has called you out of darkness into light, that you will walk worthy of this calling. And so we would ask, so what would be the mark of a worthy walk before the Lord? And he tells us at the end of this verse, 2 Thessalonians 1:11, that you would fulfill every desire for goodness. And again, the idea is that goodness would just permeate the whole of your life. And you really can never compartmentalize a spiritual virtue in your life to just one little room in the house of your life. If it's real, it encompasses the whole of your life. And goodness, Paul is saying, is what I'm praying for you believers, that it will fill the full of your entire life, and that there will be this moral and spiritual excellence and righteousness that will be so clearly evident in your life. Another way to put it, there would not be hypocrisy. There would not be duplicity in your life. That there would be a consistency in every area of your life. Or to put it another way, who you are on Sunday morning is going to be the same person on Monday morning and Tuesday morning, as we find ourselves in kind of the crunch of circumstances in the world. There's a consistency, again, and that is across the board in every area of our life. So, Kent, let's talk about this.
Well, I think of probably a lot of us are asking the question, or we might be saying, you know, as we study the fruit of the Spirit here, I'm not where I need to be. I need to do better.
Yeah.
And can you speak to that?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been where I need to be.
Yeah.
I need to. How do you do that? And the graciousness of God.
Yeah.
If you say, no, I just haven't been. I hadn't been hitting on all cylinders like I need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the way that we get back into where we need to be is what we call the means of grace. And we've talked about this multiple times, but I love the simplicity of this. Yeah. There are various, it's almost like pipes by which the grace of God comes flooding into our soul and filling our life, sanctifying grace. And it comes through being in the Word of God. It comes through being in prayer. Let's just stop right there. Without those two, we're not going to be growing spiritually.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a
stagnant,
fact.
Stagnant.
We're just going to be stagnant.
Yeah.
And stagnant things begin to stink.
Mm-hmm.
But other means of grace are really being in church, worshiping the Lord in a corporate setting, and being under the preaching of the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And in close fellowship with other believers, and coming to the Lord's table, and focusing upon the cross, and confessing my sins, and also finding a place of service, and giving my life away to others, as I am involved in these means of grace, then these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit begin to be being multiplied in my life. So I can't just sit back and think about it.
So we can't be discouraged. No matter where we are, you're saying we can start today.
Oh, yes.
And raise our game and refocus.
Yes.
And get back into this.
Yes. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just got to begin by taking just baby steps even into the Word, even if it's just 10 or 15 minutes to pray, just for 10, 15 minutes. I mean, it doesn't have to be 5 minutes. Just begin to get into the flow of this. Get back into church. Be back under the Word of God. Lift up your voice in corporate worship. And God will take you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And move you where you need to be.
Amen.
And even if you're already where you need to be, you can still advance still further.
Yeah.
And Paul said to the Thessalonians, he commended them for their excellence, but he said, but you can excel still more. Mm-hmm. All of us can still excel still more. Well, thank you for joining us today on Steadfast Hope.